Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Feminist Book Club Podcast. My name is Phelan Oliver, and I'll be your host today. I have a love-hate relationship with pop culture. I love it like everyone else. I get consumed with reality TV, which I hate but love at the same time, and then keep up with all of the news for absolutely no reason. I have no idea why I like following other people's lives, but I do. And because I love research so much, whenever a new topic comes up, I tend to dive into the whys. Recently, the topic of Amanda Bynes and Britney Spears' conservatorship has been the buzz about everywhere. I didn't fully understand what a conservatorship was, so I decided to do some research and share my findings with you all. Disclaimer, I'm going to break this down to you with the least amount of legal experience in the room, so don't sue me. If you need legal advice, you should seek an actual lawyer. And for legal purposes, this is for entertainment only.
If I wasn't under the restraints that I'm under right now, I feel so liberated. And when I tell them the way I feel, it's like they hear me, but they're really not listening. Even when you go to jail, there's always the time that you know that you're going to get out, you know. But in this situation, it's never ending.
So what is a conservatorship? Under U.S. law, conservatorship is an appointment of a guardian or protector by a judge, and they manage your financial affairs, your daily life, and it can be due to a physical or mental limitation or just due to old age. The person the judge deems to look over the affairs is called a conservator, and that can be a friend, a family member, or a government-appointed guardian. And then a person under a conservatorship is called a conservatee. Struggled with that. There are two kinds of conservatorships. There's a general conservatorship, which is like the regular one people usually go with. That's when people have lost the ability to make decisions regarding their own care. And then there's the limited conservatorship, and that's usually for a solution for people who were disabled before becoming an adult. But within both of those conservatorships, there are two goals being met. The conservatorship of a person, which is the physical things, healthcare, and what they do on a day-to-day, and then the conservatorship of a state, which is their finances. The process is really long. First, you have to file a petition with the court. Then you have to wait 8 to 12 weeks to get a hearing, unless it's an emergency. Then you're appointed investigators to make recommendations, and like I said, the process is pretty lengthy. Once the process is over, the judge will name someone to take care of the conservatee, and that person will make a decision on how they live, where they live, etc.
Today I want to talk about a controversial topic, my conservatorship case. I have been going to a treatment center that charges $5,200 a month. There's no reason why I shouldn't go to a therapist who takes my insurance for $5,000 less a month. This is why I've asked to see the judge next week regarding this conservatorship issue.
So it can become really costly for the conservator. They end up paying for the accountings. So the people that are watching every penny going in and out, they have to pay for that. They pay for attorney fees. They pay for bonding, which is the insurance company that they have to obtain to make sure that everything goes correctly. And they have to do this process every year, every 2 years. So that's expensive in itself. And then also the conservator decides what medical care they will receive. So they also have to pay for that sort of thing as well. So what is conservatorship abuse? A common way for an individual to take advantage of an older individual is to become his or her conservator or guardian. I read something that said, they deem those that are quote unquote under the influence to make bad decisions in need of conservatorships. So in my mind, I immediately thought of one, women, and two, the older population being affected the most. Now, why did I think of that? One, because whenever in history women have decided to do things different than the beaten path, they've been deemed crazy. And same with older, the older generation. a lot of the times we treat older people like they're babies and they're actually really wise. So when they say things, sometimes we just deem them as crazy. So I decided to dig a little further and see who it did affect the most. So who does it affect the most? I read a brief from the U.S. Senate Special Committee on Aging, and I was like, what is that? And then I realized I need to do a better job, probably at figuring out where my tax dollars are going, because I've never heard of this committee before, ever, ever, ever. The committee conducts oversight of the Medicare program, Social Security, and the Older Americans Act. Some of the issues that they have examined are unacceptable conditions in nursing homes, protection from age discrimination, and pricing practices for prescription drugs. The brief was put together by the National Center for the State Courts and the U.S. Department of Justice Office for Victims of Crime. The investigation was a systematic search for national media outlets on reports of conservator exploitation or abuse. They looked between the dates of July 1st, 2015 and December 31st, 2016. The cases that they found that were involved with abuse were mostly older individuals. The average age was about 82 years old, and most of the victims were women. One half of the victims lived in a care facility. Minnesota, the state that I reside in, is the only state in the country that mandates conservators record and submit all financial transactions through a software application online. In Minnesota, 70% of the abuse victims were women, and half were over the age of 65. So why is this important to talk about? One, because my suspicions were correct. The older population and women are being affected the most. But two, technically, a conservatee still should have the right to have a say in their conservatorship. But when they're being abused, most of the time they lose their rights to having a good lawyer, controlling their financial assets, remaining in their home, enjoying their own property, choosing where they live, medical treatment, and what drugs they take. Their social environments and who they get to hang out with. They sometimes don't get to get married. They don't get to vote. They don't get to drive. And so obviously they wouldn't be able to complain. So their rights are being taken away. So then I thought about that and I'm like, who is exploiting these people? I felt like it was a very obvious answer and I was correct. In the brief, it stated the perpetrators were mostly older males. To me, that was obvious. Conservatorship should be your last resort. Now, again, I'm not a lawyer, but this is based off of the information that I received. Again, not a lawyer, but listening to other lawyers, you can avoid a conservatorship if you obtain trust documents and then have a trustee that makes your decisions. You obtain a power of attorney and they'll make your day-to-day decisions. And then you get an advanced healthcare directive and they'll make your healthcare decisions. I feel like I'm a little bit more knowledgeable in regards to these conservatorship topics. If there are lawyers out here that know more, please let me know that I am completely incorrect or that I am right. But after watching that Britney doc, that one, I think it was just one episode, so it wasn't really a doc, but I felt livid and I'm still livid about how we all treated her in the early 2000s. So I was inspired to create the series Women We Failed. So once a month, I will choose a celebrity woman that had to publicly deal with misogyny from the media, Hollywood, etc. I'll pull clips, I'll analyze articles, and then I'll read the misogynist for filth. If you have any suggestions on who I should discuss or who we should talk about, feel free to tweet your submission or how you feel they were torn down by misogyny. Our Twitter handle is FMNST Book Club. That's FMNST Book Club. And just to give you a sneak peek of who will be discussed in the future, Kesha, Amanda Bynes, and Monica Lewinsky. I hope I helped you guys feel a little bit more knowledgeable today. I hope you feel like you're walking away with some information. Please do your own research. And again, I'm not a lawyer. I really don't want to get sued. Please don't sue me. Thank you for listening today. My name is Phelan, and you can find me on Instagram at Phelan Oliver. You can find me on Twitter at, you can find me basically anywhere at Phelan Oliver. Thanks for tuning in. Have a wonderful day.
Today's episode is brought to you in collaboration with Tiny and Snail, a stationery company owned by sisters Leah and Grace. Leah was working for Habitat for Humanity when a 22,000-pound telehandler fell on her. It left her paralyzed from the chest down. But this amazing artist can still use her hands, and Leah and her sister were able to help build a sustainable income for Leah after her accident by diving into their stationery company, Tiny and Snail. Tiny and Snail helps you send the most magical mail your people have ever received. Go to tinyandsnail.com/feministbookclub to sign up for an exclusive 20% off coupon for your first order. And get ready to send out some serious magic. Tiny and Snail, there's magic in the mail. Hi, everyone. My name is Renee Powers. I am the founder of Feminist Book Club, and today I have a book review for you. So it's about this time of year that a front runner or two start to bubble up for my favorite book of the year. And today's book just established itself at the front of the pack. I'm talking about Firekeeper's Daughter by Angeline Bouley. This book, published by Henry Holt in January of this year, centers the story of Donis Fontaine, an 18-year-old Ojibwe girl in northern Michigan. Her late father was a member of the Ojibwe tribe, but we quickly learn that her white mother's family kept his name off the birth certificate, so Donis cannot be enrolled in the tribe. However, her father's family made sure that she stayed connected to her native culture, and she spends a lot of time on the reservation and with her Ojibwe friends and family. Donis's aunt, in particular, is one of my favorite characters because she shares with Donis so much of their Ojibwe heritage and ensures Donis understands the importance of being an Anishinaabe woman and a firekeeper, especially, which is their family name. Donis witnesses a tragic murder and starts to poke around. She is not a stranger to tragedy, having lost her father before she was born and her uncle to mysterious circumstances. So when she's asked by the FBI and the Bureau of Indian Affairs to go undercover to investigate a potential drug operation, she does initially hesitate. However, it's her commitment to her community and especially to her family that inspires her to agree to help the investigation. Thus ensues a classic crime and detective thriller plotline that's twisty, turny, and absolutely page-turning. No spoilers here, but in the end, Donis comes to a better understanding of herself and her place in the world. She's been through a lot of trauma, but we get to see her heal, and it is cathartic and so beautiful. I learned a lot about Ojibwe culture and tribal politics more generally. I grew up on Anishinaabe land in northern Indiana, the traditional home of the Potawatomi and Ojibwe people. And I'm hungry for more stories that help me understand the land where I was raised and the traditions of that land so I can be a better steward to that land and understand what it means to be in right relationship with our native friends and family. My current home, Minneapolis, is now home to many Ojibwe people as well and borrows a lot of our local words from the language. So for example, I learned that the nearby Lake Nokomis means grandmother lake in Ojibwe. Though in this instance, likely refers to a character of the same name in some traditional Anishinaabe stories. I looked into it. That's the other thing I love about books outside my own culture is I do so many deep dives into Wikipedia. But what I loved most about this book is Donis herself. What a beautiful character. I love that the author, Angeline Bouley, writes Donis's flaws into the book, but also her introspection and her learning and unlearning. So we get to witness a beautiful metamorphosis of Donis from self-centered teenager into generous, heart-centered woman. I can't wait to see what's next from this author, and I will be sure to pick it up immediately. Special thanks to Henry Holt for providing an early electronic copy of this book, and thank you for sharing physical ARCs with Own Voices readers. It was such a delight to see those publicity packages show up on Native Bookstagram. So publishers, take note. Prioritize Own Voices reviews. We want to see it, and it means the world to them as well. If you'd like to pick up this book, and you absolutely should, there is a link in the show notes Just a note, our book links are affiliate links to bookshop.org. So when you shop those links, we do get a tiny referral commission, but so do other independent bookstores. And since it's Independent Bookstore Week, if you can't make it to a physical independent bookstore this week, do us all a favor and shop through bookshop.org. That's all I have for you today. I am so excited to share more reviews in the near future, so stay tuned. You can find me on Instagram. My personal account is Belle Renee, but I'm also the human most often and most likely behind the scenes of the Feminist Book Club Instagram account, which, of course, is Feminist Book Club Box. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.